Well, I know that Easter was 4 months ago. In fact, it was 2,000 years ago. But the last I checked, Jesus' tomb was still empty. One of the things that I love about our Christian faith is that we are Easter people. Whether it's April 21st or August 25th or December 25th, we live with the knowledge that the tomb is empty. The grave did not and does not hold our Savior Jesus. Amen? Amen. I'll see you next week. Don't you wish? No, seriously, could there be a better message than the fact that the tomb of Jesus is empty? It means so much for us. And I'm going to be talking about that this morning. It means so much for us. All of the other leaders of religions and religious bodies of the world, all of those leaders who died are still in their graves, but not Jesus. His grave is empty. Now, empty is not usually a good thing, right? I mean, we don't like it when the gas tank in our car is empty, or when our energy is sapped, or our bank account is low, or the food in our cupboard is low, which my kids know. We have this rule in our house, by the way. Don't eat the last cookie, the last of the bag of potato chips, or the last piece of pie. That is mine. Because the last thing you want to do, right? We like things full. The last thing you want to do is go to the cupboard expecting there to be cookies, and there's none. Am I right? We like things to be full. As a matter of fact, we just came from vacation, as you know. I do want to say thank you for all of the well wishes, and thank you to all the leaders and the volunteers that held things together while we were gone. It's very good to be back and be refueled and replenished, and yes, to have my full voice back. I learned that half a voice or an empty voice is not good. But while we were on vacation, we did have the opportunity to eat at some nice places. And one of the things you notice, is that a mark of excellent service is that the waiter or waitress never lets your water glass get empty. Or if you're having wine, never lets your wine glass get empty. Or the bread basket never gets empty, right? This is good. We like it that way. It's got to be full, because in general, empty is not a good thing. We like full theaters for performances, or for concerts, or for church, because there's more energy. We like it when there's more people on the dance floor. We like it when our house is full of guests or family. In fact, it's not a good feeling when there's an empty chair where your loved one used to be, or there's an empty bedroom when the last kid grows up and moves out. See, empty normally is not a good thing, except when it's the tomb that held the body of Jesus Christ. And then empty is the best thing that ever happened to mankind, and it's the best thing that ever happened to you, because the empty tomb means that you can be filled. You can be filled with joy. And that's what I want for you. Not just Easter, right? I'm kind of resurrecting an Easter theme. That's a little pastor pun, 4 months later, because I want you to be reminded and to know and to be filled with that Easter joy. I want you to know the joy of the empty tomb, and with that, to be filled with the joy of God's forgiveness. Why am I starting with forgiveness first? Because, quite frankly, God's forgiveness is his greatest gift to us. And you say, now, wait a minute. There's a lot of things. A lot of things we've been given. I'm not sure that forgiveness is God's greatest gift, because I'm not sure that forgiveness is my greatest need. And I would just say, well, let's think about that a little bit. If you get down to the core things, and if you're honest with yourself and we're honest with ourselves, we'll realize that forgiveness is God's greatest gift to us. In fact, even in the world of mental health, I just went out and I searched for forgiveness and mental health, and these were the top searches. And you can see right there in the upper left is an article from the American Psychological Association back in 2017 that says that forgiveness can improve mental and physical health. And there's a number of different articles. We've got some there from Hopkins Medicine and Harvard and on it goes. And the idea, as you look through these, is that people need forgiveness. Our minds, our health, our bodies will suffer if we don't have forgiveness for others or even for ourselves. Our physical and mental health reflects that. Forgiveness is that important. In fact, if you ask people, what are the words that they need to hear the most? Right up there at the top of the list is going to be, I love you, and I forgive you, and for some people, food's ready. But these are the main things that you and I need. I mean, if you think about it, I would venture to say there's no one in this room that isn't guilty of something. There's not anyone here today who doesn't regret something they've done or have said or have something that they're ashamed of. Maybe you have certain people you avoid because you know you hurt them. Maybe there are certain topics that come up in conversations and you feel so convicted that you'd just rather change the topic if you could. If you think about how much time and energy you and I put into feelings of guilt and fear, and if we think about the broken relationships and the hurting hearts that all come from things we've done, then I think we realize that our greatest need is forgiveness. And it's so important to us that we don't want to wonder about it, right? If you have to wonder whether you're loved, and if you have to wonder whether you're forgiven, that is pain. So God wants you and I to know so certainly that we're loved and we're forgiven, that in fact that's the reason he sent his son into the world. That's the reason that he allowed him to be mocked and beaten and even crucified and buried, so that you would know these two things, that you are loved and you are forgiven. So that's the good news today. God's greatest gift for you is forgiveness, the forgiveness that you have in Jesus Christ. As a matter of fact, it's so important that Jesus even spoke about it in his ministry often. Numerous times he would say to people, your sins are forgiven. And then their life was changed from that moment. Here's one example from Matthew chapter 9 where some men had brought to him a paralyzed man lying on a mat. And when Jesus saw their faith, he said to the man, take heart, son, your sins are forgiven. Of course, even then it was a scandal. Who is he to say that he could forgive sins? And why is he talking about forgiveness of sins when this man can't walk? Because Jesus knew that his greatest need was forgiveness. And then he even drew the connection to the fact that our forgiveness was going to come at a price. It was going to be linked to his death. So that night when he was betrayed and they were in that upper room and he took that bread and he said, take and eat. And he took that cup and he said, this is my blood poured out for your forgiveness, for the forgiveness of your sins. He was teaching them and us that forgiveness, that our forgiveness was going to be won in his death, and that it would be demonstrated in the empty tomb. The empty tomb itself is an illustration of, it's God's seal of approval. It's the fact that you and I can look and know that we're forgiven. That's why we can be filled with joy, because the empty tomb says that Christ's death was sufficient. His blood, his spilled blood, means that we're forgiven. The empty tomb says that the Father accepted his sacrifice. Because otherwise, you and I might be left in doubt, right? If Jesus had just died. And in fact, the disciples were in doubt. That's why they went and hid after Jesus was crucified and buried. And they didn't know what had happened. What went wrong? Ah, but the empty tomb said that the Father accepted his son's death as payment for our sins. St. Paul says it plainly as he writes to the church in Corinth, and if Christ has not been raised, your faith is futile. You are still in your sins. See how the empty tomb means the forgiveness of sins? If Jesus hadn't been raised, he said we'd still be guilty of our sins. Ah, that's why we're so thankful that just a few verses later he says, but, in fact, Christ has been raised from the dead. The first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. And so that's why we come here, not just on Easter, but Sunday after Sunday after Sunday, we continue to celebrate that Easter victory. Because Jesus has been raised from the dead, and therefore our sins have been forgiven. And that's why it's my joy and my privilege each Sunday to remind you that, in fact, your sins have been forgiven. And because of that, you can be filled with joy. The emptiness left by your removed sins now is a place where God can fill you with joy. And I want you to have that joy this morning, knowing that your sins are forgiven. I wonder, did you bring some baggage with you this morning? Maybe some regrets? Maybe somebody you need to forgive? Maybe something for which you need to be forgiven? Something you've been carrying around maybe for days or weeks or even years? The psychologists know that if you live with the lack of forgiveness, it's harmful for you. And God knows it too. And that's why it's my joy to tell you you don't have to live unforgiven. You have been forgiven. God gives you that gift. And that's the joy I want you to know today. I don't care what you've done. I don't care when you've done it. I don't care how bad it was, how long ago. I can tell you that that sin has been forgiven in Jesus' name, and the slate is wiped clean. And you are filled with the joy of God's forgiveness. So that's the joy I want you to know today. I also want you to know the joy of God's power. Because I don't know about you, I don't only need to be forgiven for the sins of my past, but I need power for the present. Right? I mean, life isn't always easy. Right? Can I get an amen? It isn't always easy. In fact, sometimes it's downright challenging. And sometimes I wonder, maybe you've wondered too, how you can get up just enough courage to get through the day, to face what's in front of you. I don't know about you, but I know some days I just assume stay in bed and not deal with what I've got to deal with that day. And you probably have that too. But the challenges of our life, how do we get through that? How do we deal with loss? How do we deal with pain? How do we deal with broken relationships? How do we deal with disappointments? How do we deal with financial pressures, with medical issues? How do we deal with our own deficiencies and shortcomings? Where's the power for that, right? We live in a world that unfortunately says, if you've got these problems, here's the solution. Try harder. Do more. Get better. Fix it. How's that working for you? That doesn't leave me filled, that leaves me drained. And then you wonder, is there even a possibility, where is the power to change? If I need to change my life, and there's plenty of gurus who tell you all the things you need to change, where's that power come from? Can a selfish person really become unselfish? Can an angry person really become peaceful? Can human nature change? Well, the empty tomb says yes. Because the empty tomb means that you don't go through life alone. The empty tomb means that Jesus isn't there. He's living and he's reigning and he's walking with you. And his power is available to us. Did you ever realize that? Did you ever think about the power that's given to us as followers of Jesus Christ? He talks about it in the gospel as abide in me, remain in me, and I'll remain in you. Right? It's the vine, it's the branches. There's a power connection between the vine and the branches, an energy, a life. And if you think about the power that's been given to you and me because we're followers of Jesus, it's the same power that raised Jesus from the grave. I didn't make that connection. God makes that connection. It's recorded for us in the Bible. The Apostle Paul says, I also pray that you will understand the incredible greatness of God's power for us who believe in him. See, it's a gift given to those who believe in him. It's a power, the same mighty power that raised Christ from the dead. Here's what that means. It's the same power that raised Jesus from the dead. It's available to you. That's why when Jesus says, ask anything in my name, and I will do it. See, often I think we wonder what we can do. I think the question we need to say is, as followers of Jesus Christ, what can't we do? And I don't know what it is about it, too. Sometimes I think it's a little bit of, you know, call it pious humility in us, where we kind of don't want to claim, you know, we just kind of want to sit in the background and not really, you know, be too upfront with the fact that we have power from God. You know, we just want to kind of stay on the outskirts. We feel like if we were to claim that power, that would be too bold of us, you know, maybe a little too haughty. But I say, what does God tell us? He tells us that the same power that raised Jesus from the grave is available to us who believe in him. And I think to leave that power untapped, to go through life on our own power and our own strength, is to reject or deny one of the greatest things that God has given us. Because if you understand, if you think for a minute, what the resurrection of Jesus really means, right? I mean, we say that Jesus is alive. We don't mean that the teachings of Jesus live on even though he's gone. We don't mean, when we say that Jesus is alive, we don't mean that his philosophy is still alive and active and making a difference today. No. When we say that Jesus is alive, we don't mean that he was resuscitated, but then some years later, he died, you know, eventually decayed. No, when we say that Jesus is alive, it means that he's living now, and he will never again see death and decay. Nothing like this has ever happened before the resurrection, and nothing like this has ever happened since. That's what has come of the power of God raising Jesus to life. And now that power is for you. You don't have to face life on your own. You have Jesus living at your side, and we know that the Bible teaches us that by our baptism, we not only have Jesus by our side, but we have his Holy Spirit living in us and empowering us. Friends, this ought to fill you with joy. I want you to be filled with joy. I want you to know that power of God in your life. I don't know what's happening in your life right now, but I got to guess that for at least some of you are probably struggling with some things. Right? Maybe it's financial. Maybe it's medical. Maybe it's relational. Or something else. Maybe you're trying to go through life on a solo act, juggling everything, putting it all together, making it all happen. Somebody somewhere has told you, you got to do this, you got to be that. And so you're trying to become, and you're trying to put it all and make it happen. And I would say, why? The empty tomb says you don't have to do it alone. You ought not do it alone. The empty tomb says that God promises to be with you. Jesus says, I don't have it on the screen, but he says, take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. That means that you're yoked to Christ. And so that means that he is going with you. He's alongside with you. So that means whatever you're carrying, he's carrying with you. And I don't know about you, but if Jesus is carrying it with you, that means he's carrying it. I don't know what I really would add to that equation. Right? When when God says, no matter what is happening in your life, no matter how bad it looks to your eyes, I will work all things together for your good. Right? Or when he says, I will be with you always to the very end of the age. You don't face it alone. That's the joy of the resurrection. That's the joy of God's power in your life. And today I want you to be filled with the joy of God's triumph. See, when Jesus died on the cross, for a brief moment, the enemy thought that darkness had won. But it was a short-lived celebration because Jesus rose from the grave, and he showed in that his triumph over death. God has triumphed over our greatest enemy, death itself. And the fact of the matter is, all of us have to deal with death. We all will face death. Whether it's the death of loved ones, or we have to deal eventually with our own mortality. That's just a reality. You glad you came to church today? I mean, it's true. This is a reality that we have to deal with in our life. One of my favorite authors, Max Lucado, puts it this way. He said, "Death is the bully on the block of life. Your time is coming," he taunts. Oh, we try and prove him wrong. We jog, we diet, but we know that we will only, at best, postpone it. Death is just a reality that we have to deal with, but the good news is Jesus conquered death. He triumphed over death. The empty tomb says that God has triumphed over death. Have you ever heard of Joseph of Arimathea? If you look at the Easter story in the Bible, basically after Jesus was taken down from the cross, of course Jesus didn't have anything, he didn't amass any wealth, he didn't have a homestead. So what were they going to do with his body? Well, Joseph of Arimathea was a wealthy man, and he was already prepared. He had all his arrangements taken care of, and so he said, "Well, you can lay Jesus in my tomb." Now, this isn't recorded in the Bible. It's rumored that after that, one of Joseph's friends came to him and said, "Joe, that's a pretty expensive, extravagant gift, don't you think?" And it's reported that Joe replied back to him, "Well, he told me he only needed it for the weekend." He only needed it for the weekend. His tomb was empty. And your tomb will be empty too. See, the point is when your life ends here, it doesn't end. It just begins. Jesus describes it this way. He says, "Truly I say to you, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life." He doesn't come into judgment, but is passed from death to life. And what a life it is that we pass over into. If you take all of the good things of this world and you get rid of all the bad things, then you're starting to scratch the surface of what it will be like. There's no pain, there's no sorrow, there's no strife, there's no anger, and all the negative things of this world will be gone because of the empty tomb. We know that that's what awaits us. And that causes us to be filled with joy, even in the face of challenge. See, I don't know what the news for you of the triumph of God's triumph over death brings to you this morning. Perhaps even today you're mourning the passing of someone that you loved. Maybe it was this year or last year or a long time ago, and that pain is still with you. That void is still there, and I understand that, and I don't want to minimize that struggle for you. But I would just challenge you to give a little bit of a thought. Could you maybe have some joy, if not for you, for them, because of the life that they have right now? And maybe you are struggling with some really hard things in your life. But maybe the knowledge of the triumph, the victory that Christ has won will give you the courage and the energy and the will to take heart, knowing the joy that awaits you, knowing the joy of God's triumph over death and the promise of this new and incredible life that he has in store. It's because of the empty tomb. So I would say that in general, empty is usually not a good thing. But when it's the tomb that held the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, it's the greatest thing that ever happened. It's the greatest news for all of mankind, and it's the greatest news for you. This world may leave you empty, but because of Christ's empty tomb, you can be filled. You can be filled with joy, the joy of God's forgiveness, the joy of God's power, and the joy of God's triumph over death. Amen? Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I ask that you would fill all our hearts with joy. That you would give us a deep and abiding joy in the forgiveness of our sins through the death of your Son. And Lord, remind each of us of the power that is available to us as your children, as Christ's Holy Spirit lives in us. Give us hope and your promises, and also a hope in the incredible eternal life that we have with you. May this joy that we have not only be for today, but for every day. May we be filled with joy. In your Son's name we pray. Amen.